arranged by Ron and Shelley Hamilton. Our adult choir is led by Pastor Rick Commandor, and our children's choir will be led by Mrs. Charlene Commandor. Accompanying us will be Mrs. Nancy Ross at the piano. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to today thinking of this Christmas cantata, Amazing Grace. Lord, I pray that this time would be a very special time as we come together. Lord, I know that the choir has worked very hard, and a lot of time has been put into this, Lord. Would you bless them for that, and also for the children and the work and the cast. Lord, I pray you bless be with Nancy today, Lord. Thank you for her ability you've given her to play the piano. Thank you for Brother Rick for being able to lead the choir, and pray you just help us all, Lord, as we come together, as we would rejoice in your holy name. Lord, now make this time a very special time in Jesus' name. Amen. Our cast for the play will be Mr. Scott Hobbs as our narrator. Mrs. Linda Ellington will play Grace. Mr. Clyde Buell will play Jimmy. Marcus Commandor will play young Jimmy. Mrs. Buell will play Debbie. Miss Alexandra Owens will play young Debbie. Mr. Tucker Pruitt will play Johnny. Brandon Leanna will play young Johnny. Mr. Tim Hemingway will play the sheriff. Pastor Rick Commander will play Pastor. And Mrs. Charlene Commander will play Lucille. We ask you to sit back and enjoy Ron and Shelley Hamilton's Amazing Grace cantata.
Most of us look forward to it all year long. But today, I'd like to tell you about someone who hates Christmas. His name is James Barnes. About this time last year, he had just finished some consulting work in Atlanta and was headed north on I-75 through Tennessee. It was mid-afternoon, Christmas Eve day. A light snow was falling, and he was quickly approaching the exit to his hometown, Crossroads, Tennessee. Oh, he wasn't planning to stop. In fact, he hadn't been back home since college. His mother, Lucille Barnes, had left town 9 years before, and no one, including James, had heard from her since. All James wanted to do was get to Detroit Hilton as quickly as he could, order up a few drinks, and try to forget it was Christmas. He'd spend the next day by the pool, preparing for his meeting on the 26th. However, as his hometown exit came into view, he couldn't help but be a little curious. There was old Jake's garage, as run down as ever, but still standing. There, under the rusty awning, Jake still had the antique Studebaker Hawk. James had borrowed that car for his first date with Debbie. And when James saw a little weather-beaten sign off to the side of the interstate that said, "Granny Grace's Apple Farm, exit here," guilt swept over him as memories flooded back. Grace Hudson was the one person in the whole world that he truly loved. He grew up calling her Mom, and yet he hadn't so much dropped her a postcard in 10 years. Her son, Johnny, had been his best friend, and James had practically grown up at the old Hudson farmhouse. James again remembered the recent Christmas card he had just received from Grace with its bizarre note at the end. "Please come home for Christmas. Johnny's coming too. All my love, Mom Hudson." Suddenly he glanced up and saw a slow-moving truck just 10 feet ahead of him. He veered to the left, hit a patch of ice, and started spinning out of control toward the median. After a bumpy few seconds, he came to a sudden stop in a muddy ditch. Though James was normally in control of every situation, he found himself trembling as his mind flashed back to that accident that had taken place exactly 10 years before. After several minutes, he regained his composure and began cursing himself for being so stupid. He started the car and gunned the engine several times to get back to the interstate, but was quickly up to both axles in mud. He was perturbed that no one had stopped to help. Once again, his hometown had brought him nothing but bad luck. Grudgingly, he climbed out of the car and stepped into ankle-deep mud. The suction of the sticky red clay quickly gobbled up both of his shoes as he struggled to get out of the ditch. Soon his teeth were chattering and his temper was boiling. He sloshed up the exit ramp in his stocking feet and his custom-made suit. When James reached the top of the ramp, a policeman finally came along and rolled down his window.
"Abba, son, anything I can do to help?"
"You certainly can, officer. I need a tow out of the mud right away, and I'm in a hurry."
"Whoa there. Boy, you know, I ain't used to taking orders from no kid. But if you'll just wait a little bit, I'll see what I can do." Wait a minute. Jimmy? Jimmy Barnes, is that you?"
"Sheriff Martin. I'm sorry, I didn't recognize you."
"Well, I'll be a purple polecat. Jump in here, son. You're sure a sight for sore eyeballs. Grace kept telling me you'd be coming home for Christmas, but I never thought you'd actually make it. What are you doing all these years? You forgot Crossroads, Tennessee was on the map?"
No, sir. I've just been real busy with, business."
"Busy?"
"Yeah, you know, making a living and, working and taking care of, you know, things."
"Well, that's unique." "Well, it don't really matter anyway. We're just as glad to see you finally made it. Come here to visit us. You must have got Grace's Christmas card, huh?"
"How'd you know about that?"
"Why, I just know about everything Grace Hudson does. Her husband and I were best friends, you know. God rest his soul. You know, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years. Anyways, I've been helping Grace with all her affairs ever since his home going. You know, balancing her checkbook and making sure her bills are paid. I tell you what, that woman is a mess when it comes to money. She don't have much to begin with, but the precious little she has, she tries to give it all away."
"I guess some things never change."
"I don't know what we're going to do this summer."
"What do you mean?"
"Well, I'm retiring, and my son, he wants me to come spend the summer with him in Minnesota."
"Can't Mom Hudson take care of herself?"
"Not hardly. Her age is really beginning to show. I'm worried about her, Jimmy. These last few weeks, she has really been down in the dumps. Doc Howard says she's not been eating much either.
What's wrong with her?
Christmas has always been tough on her, missing her two boys and all. But, you know, thank the Lord, Grace is about to have the best Christmas she's ever had in a long time.
She is?
Sure she is, because you're here, boy, and you're just the medicine she needs.
Sir, I really do need to get in my car.
Your car? Oh, yeah. What am I thinking, anyways? Where is it?
It's down there, at the end of the ramp, sitting in the median.
That big black Cadillac is yours?
It's a company car.
You have to be making a living, huh?
Do you think Jake could give me a tow tonight?
I'm sure he'd be glad to, but I think he's up at Bear Mountain sledding with the grandkids.
Great.
Tell you what, Jimmy, I'll drop you off at Grace's, then I'll track back and find Jake myself. Just give me a few hours or so. I'll have that car sitting in Grace's driveway. It's pretty easy to please. How's that for service?
Not exactly what I had in mind.
How's that?
Thanks for being so kind.
Jimmy was totally beside himself. He didn't know what to do. Just 30 minutes before, he had everything under control. Now he found himself knocking on the front door of the Hudson Farmhouse, the last place on earth he wanted to be, especially at Christmas.
I can't believe this is happening. This place is sure run down.
May I help you?
Debbie!
Jimmy! Oh, clumsy me.
Here, let me help you. I didn't mean to scare you.
Oh, you didn't scare me. It's just, it's been so long.
I know, and I'm sorry. I should have written or called or something.
That's all right, Jimmy. It's a free country.
What are you doing here?
My mother just dropped me off with some dinner for Mrs. Hudson. Dad wanted to make sure she at least had one good meal today.
You still live with your folks in that old broken-down parsonage?
Hey, don't be too rough with that old place. We've really fixed it up.
So, you've never left Crossroads?
No.
Well, what do you do around here?
I'm Dad's secretary at the church. I love it.
Debbie, someone here?
Yes, Mrs. Green, it's an old friend. Come and see.
How is she, Debbie?
Excuse me. She's okay, most of the time. It's just that her memory is starting to...
What is all the commotion going on out here? Oh, my lands, can it be?
Hi, Mom.
Johnny? Johnny, it's so good to see you. Welcome home, son. Welcome home.
But...
What's wrong, son? Cat got your tongue? You just need to get some good home cooking. Now come on in the kitchen and I'll fix some good food. I'm starved too. And it's so good to have you home, Johnny.
But, Mom, I'm not Johnny.
You're not hungry? After that long drive from college? That's a good one. Any more fibs like that, boy, and I'll wash your mouth out with soap. Now come on in out of the cold here before too long. And where are your shoes?
I lost them.
Well, get in here on the double before you catch your death of cold. You haven't changed a bit. You still need your old mother to look after you, don't you? Remember that time you and Jimmy took off your shoes in the hayloft and we couldn't find them? It took 2 years.
Yeah, I remember. My mom about killed me.
You better believe I was upset. Money don't grow on trees, you know. Now take off those old muddy socks and I'll go up to your closet. You've got some old shoes and socks back in the back of it. You know, boys will be boys.
What's going on?
That's what I was starting to tell you. She's real confused a lot of the time.
How long has she been like this?
It's been several years now, but it seems to be getting worse lately.
Can't Doc Howard help her?
No, he just says not to antagonize her. If you try to correct her, she just gets upset.
This is going to be interesting.
Don't let it get to you, Jimmy. She's the same sweet person she's always been. Just a little mixed up sometimes.
A little? She doesn't even know my name.
Oh, yes, she does. Every Wednesday night prayer meeting. for the last 10 years, she announced the same prayer request. Please pray for my Jimmy.
Wonderful.
Jimmy, your coming home means a great deal to her. I haven't seen her this excited in years.
I guess time changes things, doesn't it?
I guess so.
You'd never know it to look at this old farmhouse. Everything looks exactly the same as it did 20 years ago.
That's one thing I love about here. All those wonderful memories.
Look at these Christmas pictures. Does she still get them out every year?
The day after Thanksgiving.
Remember this one? The night we all made our Christmas debut at church?
How could I forget? You made a dashing Joseph.
And you were pretty good married, too. But, as I recall, Johnny was the one who stole the show. Remember that last rehearsal?
Do I remember? My dad nearly had a fit.
No one who was at the famous last rehearsal ever forgot it. Even though it had taken place 20 years before, Pastor Green was in charge, and as usual, he was having trouble getting the children's choir to act like little angels.
All right, kids, that's enough talking. Anthony, take off your hat, please. All right, Caleb, remember, no tennis shoes tomorrow, okay? All right. Now, what time is everybody going to be here tomorrow?
6 o'clock.
I can't hear you.
6 o'clock.
Good. Okay, let's pretend this is the real thing. We're going to do your part of the program one more time. And if you do your best, Mrs. Green has cookies and ice cream waiting for you downstairs.
Yay!
All right, quiet down. All right, you kids move to the side of the platform. And we'll begin with scene one. Emily, could you tell Mary and Joseph that we're ready?
Mary and Joseph, get in here.
Thanks, Emily.
No problem.
Okay, Johnny, get in position.
Yes, sir.
All right, now remember, son, you're the innkeeper. You've got to be mean. Can you do it?
Yes, sir.
No, not like that. Like this. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's better. Now remember, keep it mean. Okay, Jimmy and Debbie, we're ready for your entrance.
I can't go on much longer, Joseph.
Here's your name right here, Mary. Hurry up, Jezebel.
Joseph, be careful. I'm sorry, dear. Oh, Joseph, the pains are getting worse.
Just a little longer, dear.
Please hurry.
Innkeeper. Go away! I'm going to sleep!
Innkeeper, come quickly!
Go away! We have no more room!
Joseph, oh.
Innkeeper, I must see you immediately! You would think this is Jerusalem with all this noise. Why are you bothering me in the middle of the night?
I must have a room, sir.
I have no room. Didn't you hear me?
Then tell me quickly where I can find the room.
King David himself going to find a room tonight in Bethlehem? Now run along and let me get back to sleep.
Oh.
A term, my wife is with great child.
Help!
She is?
Yes, sir, and this is our firstborn. Oh, Joseph, the baby won't wait any longer.
Sir, we have traveled far. Please take pity on us.
Please!
But there's nothing I can do.
I fear for her life, sir.
Joseph!
I wish I could.
Oh, please, sir, have mercy on us. Oh, the baby, oh.
Very well. Come quickly. You can have my bed.
What? Johnny, you ruined it.
Hold everything. What's going on? That's not in the script.
I'm sorry, Best Screen, but...
Where did you dream up those lines?
I just really felt sorry for her.
Well, I'm glad you did, but... But I'm afraid the Bible doesn't leave a whole lot of room for flexibility here.
You really would, Johnny.
I'm tired. I want to go home and go to bed.
You can have my bed.
If you say that again, I'm going to...
Kids, choir, you come ahead and rehearse your last song. Johnny, Jimmy, Debbie, come with me. We're going to learn those lines if it takes all night.
Asher, hold up. Joseph breaks down one of the doors to the rooms and throws everybody out.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Are you guys crazy?
That's great. He's a little excited, you know.
And the audience will love it.
Sorry, boys, but it didn't happen that way.
Maybe Joseph's new karate. And maybe Santa Claus is one of the wise men. Jimmy, you've been watching too much television again.
That's enough, Miss Smarty Pants.
If I live through tomorrow night, it'll be a miracle. Kids choir, you're on. Hustle up and sing out. You three follow me.
Johnny finally learned his lines, and everything went pretty well the night of the performance. One of the live sheep by the manger did try to sing along with the kids' choir, but nobody seemed to mind too much. In fact, it kind of helped set the mood. After the service that night, Jimmy and Johnny went back to the farmhouse with Grace.
We're going to have fun tonight, Jimmy. Mom made some apple pie this afternoon. Maybe she'll let us play Monopoly.
Oh, now don't get too excited, son. Jimmy might want to go home and spend Christmas with his mother.
Now, Mom says she was working late tonight at the bar tonight and might not be home.
But when will I open your presents?
What presents?
She's not getting you anything?
She did last year. All she cares is about booze.
Oh, I'm sure she cares about you a great deal, Jimmy.
Then can you stay, Jimmy?
Sure.
Well, I'll go get the apple pie ready.
But can we open our presents first?
Oh, I don't know, Johnny. You know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And you don't want to get sick on Christmas, do you?
But, Mom, we had applesauce for supper.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I always say you can't get too much of a good thing.
Mom, please.
All right, you two. But not before we sing my favorite Christmas carol.
Let's hurry up.
Okay, now sing along.
Amazing grace, how sweet the...
Wait a minute, that's not a Christmas carol.
Oh, yes it is, Jimmy. It's the best one of all.
But it doesn't talk about baby Jesus, does it?
Sure it does.
It does?
Do you two know what grace is?
No,
not really.
Grace is God giving us something that we really don't deserve. And that's what Christmas is all about. God gave us His only Son so that we could have eternal life.
We sure don't deserve that.
That's pretty amazing.
That's grace.
See the amazing.
me your present first.
Oh, well, if you insist.
Here, it's for both of us.
You'll really like them.
Well, I'm sure I will.
We really worked hard.
Pot holders. And they're my favorite color, too.
And they matched the ones you gave me last year.
We thought you wanted a whole set.
They're beautiful. I'm so surprised.
We gave them on Wednesday night at church.
Sheriff Martin helped us.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much. They're just perfect. And I've got something for both of you, too.
I can't wait.
Well, let's go get it.
Go get it?
Yes, it's in the kitchen.
In the kitchen?
It's a very special, wonderful, expensive, one in a million.
Mom, come on!
Taffy apple.
Taffy apple?
I made it especially for Christmas morning. What's wrong?
Nothing at all.
Oh, but there is one other thing I almost forgot. I do have one little present for both of you. But you both have to open it at the same time.
Whatever you say, Mom.
The paper sure is pretty.
It's not very big.
But it's kind of heavy.
Mom, a real Swiss Army knife.
And look at all the stuff it has. A screwdriver, a pair of scissors, and a fingernail file.
Look, Jimmy, even has a magnifying glass. Oh, toothpick.
This had to be really expensive.
How'd you ever get the money for this, Mom?
Well, Mr. Jake has been selling my apple pies down at the gas station, and he sold quite a few.
I haven't seen any extra pies around.
Well, that's because I've been baking them after you're in bed and delivering them before you ever get up.
Well, you can't work all day and all night.
When I grow up, I'm going to take care of you and never going to have to work anymore.
You can't do that. I'm going to take care of her.
I can take care of her if I want to.
You cannot. She was my mom first.
That was my idea.
Boys, settle down. How about if both of you take care of me?
Well, maybe I'll be all right.
Okay. I guess you can help some.
Okay, that's all settled. Now, y'all need to hurry up and grow up so I can rest.
Mom, thanks so much for the knife.
I guess we've been pretty good boys, deserve something this night.
Well, let's just say you've been boys. And I love both you scallywags. Actually, none of us deserves anything nice, Jimmy. The only thing that can help us is God's amazing grace.
How sweet the sound.
As the years passed, Grace did her best to raise Johnny and Jimmy to serve the Lord. But Jimmy didn't seem to be interested in spiritual things. Both boys fought for Debbie's affection throughout high school. Then when Johnny was 17 years old, he delighted Grace's heart by announcing to her that he had been felt the call to be a missionary. Jimmy jokingly said he felt called to be a millionaire so he could support Johnny. Straight A's came easily for Jimmy, even though he got no encouragement from his real mother. And Lucille's drinking was getting more and more out of control. After graduation from high school, Grace persuaded Johnny and Jimmy to go to the same Christian college. Their small savings quickly ran out, and they had to work long hours, plus keep up with their homework. College life was not easy. Grace faithfully sent them care packages once a month, but that was about all she could do, besides pray. Although it was tough, things went pretty well until Christmas of their senior year.
Have another piece of pie, boys. And it's apple. Remember, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Oh, Mom, if I take one more bite, I'm going to have to see the doctor for sure.
Well, how about you, Jimmy?
All we ever have is apples. Can't we have something else for a change?
What is bothering you, Jimmy? You've been a grouch all evening.
I know. Why don't we sing my favorite Christmas carol?
Mom, will you just be quiet for once?
Jimmy, you better watch your mouth.
What's wrong, son? I know the Lord can help.
I think it's about time I started helping myself.
But God's Word says, call unto me, and I will show you.
Forget it, Mom. If you want to read something, read this.
Mr. James Barnes, a minimum of $1,000 must be paid on your account before you may register for a second semester. This is from the business office.
But don't you have enough to pay for it?
I did have. That's why I've been working around the clock at the diner and drugstore all Christmas vacation.
What do you mean, you did have?
Like an idiot, I've been cashing my checks and stashing the money in one of my drawers at home.
And?
It's gone.
Gone? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
But who would take it?
Can't you guess?
Not your mother.
Yes, my loving mother.
But why would she?
Oh, she'll blow it on booze and whatever else she does down at that dumb bar.
All right, I'm going to call Sheriff Martin.
Go ahead, but it won't help. She'll just say she never saw the money. Oh, I'm so stupid.
Oh, Jimmy, God's grace can meet your need. Let's pray about it right now.
No thanks, Mom. I deserve a lot more of this life than God's ever given me, and I intend to get it.
Jimmy, you don't mean that.
Oh, yeah? See you later.
Jimmy!
Even after 10 years... that night was still painfully fresh in Jimmy's mind. His life was so different now, so sophisticated, so comfortable, so empty. Suddenly, Jimmy's thoughts were jerked back to that present when he heard Grace coming down the stairs.
I found your shoes, Johnny. They were way in the back of the closet.
Thanks, Mom.
And here's some socks, too. I'm just pickle tink. I'm tickled pink to have you home, son. Now let's eat. I am famished for something.
Everything's ready, Mrs. Hudson.
Okay, let's have a seat. Johnny, would you like to thank the Lord for the food?
Sure, Mom.
And don't forget to pray for Jimmy. That boy is bearing a mighty heavy burden.
Yes, ma'am. Mom, you know, I'd really like to hear you say grace, if you don't mind. It's been such a long time since I've heard you pray.
Oh, that's sweet of you, Johnny. Sure, honey, I'll be glad to. Dear Father, thank you so much for bringing Johnny home safely. Thank you for the good apple crop this year. And we especially pray for Jimmy, Lord. That boy is bearing such a heavy burden. Bring him home, Father. Thank you so much for your amazing grace. Amen.
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 Now, Johnny, make sure you have plenty of room for apple pie. You know what they say, an apple a day
keeps the doctor away.
Yeah, Mom, that's one thing I do remember.
Debbie, would you please pass the applesauce to Johnny? Oh, who could that be?
Oh, no, it's Dad. I completely forgot. He said to be ready at 6:15.
Ready for what, dear?
The Christmas Eve service at church.
Well, land sakes, let's go.
I'll just stay home and clean the table.
Oh, that's mighty sweet of you to offer, son, but everybody will want to see you.
But the food, it might spoil.
Oh, nonsense, dear. You just leave everything right where it is, and we'll eat just as soon as we get home. Just grab an apple out of the refrigerator. They say an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
As Jimmy climbed into the back seat of Pastor Green's big old station wagon, he felt trapped. Pastor and Mrs. Green were in the front seat, and Jimmy was sandwiched between Debbie and Grace in the back. It was a long, awkward ride to the church, but they finally got there. As Jimmy passed through the doorway of the musty old candlelit church, the urge to run almost overcame him. But as the choir started singing, a wonderful peace settled over everyone.
Welcome to our annual Christmas Eve service. Thank you for everyone for coming. I wasn't sure what kind of crowd we'd have tonight with all the snow on the roads, but I'm glad all of you made it. The choir's been working hard, and We have a wonderful evening ahead of you.
Pastor Green.
Yes, Grace?
I just want to take a minute to thank everybody, or thank the Lord for everything He's done for me. He's been so good to me this Christmas. My son Johnny is home from college. Stand up, son, so the people can see you. And the Lord has once again shown me His amazing grace. Could we sing that grand old song, Pastor?
Well, I guess we could.
It would sure bless this old heart of mine. God has been so gracious to give me so much that I don't deserve.
Nancy, could you give us a little introduction? Everybody sing along on the first stanza.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor. That's my favorite Christmas carol. God has showed us so much grace when He sent His Son, didn't He, Pastor?
He sure did, Grace.
Oh, there's one more thing, Pastor, I need to share.
Yes?
I'd like to ask all the church folk to especially remember to pray for Jimmy this Christmas.
We'll do that, Grace.
That boy is carrying a real heavy load. And I'm awfully concerned about him.
Thank you. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Pastor.
Now, Sheriff Martin comes to start off our Christmas program by reading some familiar scripture.
Luke chapter 2, verses 9-11. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And now, Sister Candace will favor us with a song, solo.
Hallelujah, how He prays.
'Twas the birthday of a king.
Needless to say, it was an extremely uncomfortable evening for Jimmy. He wanted to leave as soon as the program was over, but Grace would have none of that. Besides, Pastor Green was her ride home, and there were many visitors to greet. Grace stationed herself at the door and made sure that no one left the church without shaking hands with her darling son, Johnny. Finally, the church was empty, and Mrs. Green and Debbie started blowing out the candles around the auditorium. Grace was beginning to wear down. All the excitement had taken its toll. Jimmy once again climbed into the back seat of the pastor's car and found himself sandwiched between Debbie and Grace. After dropping off Debbie and Mrs. Green at the pastor's house, Jimmy got into the front seat, while Grace quietly dozed in the back.
Jimmy?
I haven't seen Grace so chipper in months. Thanks for taking time to come.
If you only knew.
What's that?
Oh, nothing. I guess I'm not in the mood for any compliments.
I know tonight had to be hard on you with Grace not having her mind and all. It just wasn't your night.
I guess Christmas Eve just never has been my night.
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I didn't mean to bring that up.
That's all right. You'd think after 10 years I'd be able to get over it.
Jimmy, I know you must feel somewhat responsible for what happened, but the Lord...
Pastor, can you slow down, please?
Sure, Jimmy.
Do we have to go this way?
Sorry, son. I didn't even think about it.
I just haven't been down this road since.
10 years earlier, after the Christmas Eve service, Jimmy had stormed out of the Hudson farmhouse, yelling that he deserved a lot more out of life than what God had given him. From there, Jimmy had gone home to his mother's shabby little trailer to sulk. About an hour later, Debbie had called him and asked if he and Johnny would come over. Within 10 minutes, Jimmy picked up Johnny, and they were on their way.
Well, why are we going to Pastor's house anyway?
Well, some of the young people are getting together to sing carols and share their testimonies.
Oh, goody, goody. I'm going to get to share my testimony.
Jimmy.
What's the matter, little Johnny boy? Don't you want to hear my testimony?
What is wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me. I can't wait to tell everybody how God graciously took my $1,000 to buy booze for my mother. Isn't that amazing?
God didn't do that.
But, Johnny boy, don't you know he's in control of everything?
Jimmy, slow down. What's wrong with you?
Nothing's wrong with me, partner. I'm feeling great.
I said slow down. Why are you acting like this?
Because I'm going to get what I deserve.
You're talking crazy.
Oh, yeah? Well, stick around, old buddy. It's going to get a lot crazier than this.
Jimmy, stop the car. Let me out.
What's wrong, wimp? You ain't turning chicken on me, are you? We're hardly moving.
Jimmy, there's a curve coming up.
So?
You're not going to make it.
Oh, yeah? Watch me.
Jimmy!
Ah!
No!
They didn't make the curve that night. They smashed into a giant oak tree. Jimmy was in the hospital for 3 weeks, but Johnny didn't live through the night. Even after 10 years, the memories were too painful to talk about. Finally, Pastor Green pulled up to the Hudson farmhouse and dropped off Jimmy and Grace. Grace had been dozing in the back seat all the way home, so Jimmy woke her up and helped her into the house.
You'd better get to bed, Mom. It's been a long evening.
Well, I suppose I am feeling a little tired. Land sakes, Johnny, I forgot to clean up the supper dishes.
Well, you didn't actually forget to.
Now, don't you go try making excuses for me. I may be getting old, but that doesn't mean I can leave things a mess. Looky there. We sure cleaned our plates, didn't we?
Yeah, I guess we did. Say, listen, Mom, why don't we have a little, snack before we put things away?
Oh, no thanks, son. I couldn't eat another bite. I'm still stuffed from supper, aren't you?
Well, I suppose so. It's just that it was so long ago, it seems like we hardly ate.
Well, listen, honey, you run upstairs and get your PJs on, and I'll fix you a big piece of apple pie and some hot cocoa.
That sounds wonderful, Mom.
You know what they say, an apple a day.
Yeah, Mom, I remember.
Now run along up to your room, Johnny, and I'll be ready in a jiffy.
Are you sure you don't need my help?
Oh, don't go treating me like no fragile antique, son. I can still manage fine. Now you run along.
Yes, ma'am.
You'd think I was getting old or something. I can still work circles around these kids. Oh, that sounds like the doorbell. Now look at that. Be this time of night. Hold your horses. I'm coming.
As Grace hurried to see who was at the door, Jimmy was upstairs standing in the doorway to Johnny's room. Jimmy had once loved this place so much, but now every emotion within him cried out to run. Hardly anything had changed. The bunk beds were still there. The top of the old dresser was still crowded with Boy Scout badges, plastic trophies, and model cars. And there on the wall hung both Jimmy and Johnny's high school diplomas. Jimmy was startled to see that one more diploma had been added to the wall.
Johnny, here's your pie and your hot cocoa.
Mom, where'd you get this?
Get what?
This diploma.
Well, that's your high school diploma, dear.
Mom, this is a college diploma.
Hmm, that's strange. Who does that belong to?
Says it belongs to James Barnes.
Oh, well, I'll be. I wonder where it came from.
There's a note taped to it. Dear Mrs. Hudson, in appreciation for all you've done, we're sending you this duplicate of Jimmy's diploma. Sincerely, the administration.
Oh, wow, if that don't beat all.
Don't you remember anything about this?
I'm sorry, dear. Why don't you ask Jimmy? He'd probably know where it came from.
I don't think so.
Well, let's not fret about it tonight. I'm ready to hit the hay. How about you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Good night, dear. Sleep tight, and don't let the bed bugs bite.
Good night. Wait, Mom, what's that in your hand?
Oh, looks like keys.
They look like mine.
Oh, really? Well, I'll be. Here you go.
That must have been Sheriff Martin at the door.
Somebody's at the door?
Good. Then my car must be here, too.
How's that, Johnny?
Oh, nothing, Mom. Just talking to myself.
Well, let's pray together, and then we'll get some good rest. Lord, once again, you've shown us your grace and treated us far better than we deserve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing my son home for Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
See you in the morning, Johnny. It sure is good to have you home.
Thanks, Mom.
I love you, dear. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
As Jimmy was left standing alone, he couldn't bear the thought of spending the night in Johnny's room. With his keys in hand, he ran down the stairs and out into the chilly night air. There sat his car in the driveway. He jumped in, turned on the ignition, and backed out of the driveway as fast as he dared. As soon as he got on the main road, he floored the accelerator. Jimmy turned his radio to the wildest music he could find and cranked up the volume as loud as it would go. He flew around a slow-moving car and cursed loudly when he saw who it was. The flashing blue lights came on immediately. For a moment, Jimmy tried to outrun him, but finally pulled over and turned off the radio.
What's going on, Jimmy?
I just can't take it.
Has something happened to Grace?
Oh, she's doing fine, but I'm not.
Can I help?
The only thing that's going to help me is to get a million miles away from this place.
So that's the way it is, huh?
Yeah. How would you feel if your mom was a town drunk? Or if you were the one driving the car that killed your best friend? All I've got here is bad memories.
Bad memories?
Yeah.
What about Grace Hudson?
Well, she treated me all right. But this town still never gave me half what I deserve.
And you better be thankful for that.
Thankful?
Seems to me you might be forgetting some of the details about the accident you had a little while back.
What are you talking about?
You never knew this, Jimmy. But 10 years ago, when you and Johnny didn't show up at Pastor's house, Grace got worried, and she called me. So I swung by and picked her up, and the two of us went out looking for you boys. First place we tried was your mom's old trailer.
A shiver ran down Jimmy's spine. There was one carefully guarded secret about that accident that had haunted him for 10 years. No one else had any way of knowing, he thought.
Anybody home?
Lucille, are you in there?
For crying out loud, it's open. What do you want, an invitation?
Sorry to bother you, Lucille. But have you seen Jimmy?
No, I ain't, Sheriff. But that boy of mine is going to be mighty sorry when I do find him.
Why is that, Lucille?
Because that little thief has been snitching some of my best liquor.
That cannot be. He promised me that he would never drink.
Huh. He promised you, yeah? You and your silly, stupid religion. How about doing something useful for a change and turn some water into wine?
That's enough, Lucille. Now, what do you think? Jimmy's been drinking?
What would you think if you walked in and found a bottle of liquor open on the table?
Are you sure you didn't leave it out, Lucille?
No chance, Sheriff. This stuff is expensive. I was saving it for New Year's. Now, I want you to find that thief and throw him in jail till he rots. Imagine stealing from his own mother.
Sheriff, we need to find those boys and find them fast.
You're right about that, lady. If you don't find Jimmy before I do, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to get me a gun and protect my property. You hear me? I'm going to kill him.
That night was the first time Jimmy had ever had a drink of liquor. When he was 12 years old, he had promised Grace that he would never touch any kind of alcohol. And Jimmy had been true to his word until that fateful Christmas Eve 10 years before.
You mean you've known all this time?
I'm afraid so, Jimmy. I wanted to throw you in jail, but Grace wouldn't hear of it. She gave me orders that nothing was to be said about the whiskey, and that was the end of that. She said she wouldn't be able to bear the loss of both of you boys.
Sheriff, why don't you just shoot me? We'd all be better off.
No, Jimmy. There's a lot of debts you need to settle up first.
Debts?
That's right. Some old school bills.
What are you talking about?
How'd you pay your way through college?
I worked like a dog, that's how.
And you paid for it all?
Nah, my last year was mostly taken care of by some scholarship for penniless orphans like me. I suppose some rich fool just wanted to make his conscience feel better. After all life had dealt me, I figured I deserved it.
Some rich fool, huh?
Yeah.
How about some poor saints?
What?
Do you remember who gave you that scholarship?
Some foundation. I think it was the AG Scholarship Foundation.
Good memory.
How do you know about all this stuff?
Because I'm the vice president of that foundation.
You?
Bet you didn't know it was so important, did you? I'm not.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid you lost me somewhere.
I'll try to simplify it for you. 30 years ago, just before Grace's husband had his farming accident, he bought a life insurance policy for his firstborn son, Johnny.
Life insurance? On a baby?
Yeah, it was kind of popular back then. He was mighty proud of that boy. Well, then Grace's husband passed away.
And you started helping Grace their finances.
You got it. Funny thing is, she didn't even know about the life insurance, but it sure came in handy when Johnny died.
I really don't want to talk about this.
Sorry, but you don't have a choice. As it turned out, Grace had enough to pay Johnny's funeral with a little tiny portion left over. So we formed the AG Scholarship Foundation for needy students. But all that money went to one student.
Me?
Yep.
But she's the one who needs it. Why didn't she keep it?
Well, that's what I told her. She kept saying, no, my son is carrying a mighty heavy load, and she needs to help.
Oh, how could she find it in her heart to care about me?
Now, that kind of goes back to why we called it the AG Foundation.
What do you mean?
Well, can you guess what AG stands for? Let me give you a little hint. Amazing
Grace.
Grace. That's right, son, Grace. Getting something you don't deserve.
I've been so blind all these years, feeling sorry for myself, but that dear sweet woman has never given up on me.
Jimmy, Grace is a mighty fine lady, but she's not the one you owe the most to.
She's not?
Nope. There's somebody else who's giving you far more than Grace.
Who?
Jimmy, you can't see? You weren't planning on coming home for a visit, were you?
No.
Open your eyes, son. It was no accident you ran off the road this afternoon. There's only one reason why you're here. God loves you, Jimmy. And once again, he's showing you his grace.
Sheriff, I don't deserve God's grace.
You're right. You don't. Grace is love either. But she still loves you, Jimmy, whether you like it or not. God brought you here to Crossroads. Now, which way are you going to go?
Lord, help me for once. Help me to make the right decision.
Thank you.
Jesus to say to him that night, led to the Lord by his fourth grade Sunday school teacher, who also just happened to be the town sheriff. Moments later, Jimmy found himself back on Grace's old gravel driveway. As he walked up the sidewalk, everything was different. This time, he didn't see an old broken-down farmhouse. He saw God's grace.
Johnny, I thought you were in bed.
I just needed to get out for a while and think through some things.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just glad you're home, son.
Me too, Mom.
Well, I've been up in my room praying for Jimmy. I'm so burdened for him. He's carrying an awful load.
Mom, you don't need to worry about Jimmy anymore. Your prayers have been answered.
Really, Johnny?
Yes, Mom. God certainly is good, isn't he?
He sure is, son. His grace is just amazing.
From that night on, Jimmy Barnes was a changed man. Within 2 months, he had sold his Florida condo and had moved into the old Hudson farmhouse to help take care of Grace. Although Jimmy would occasionally try to explain to her who he really was, Grace never did understand. 6 months after coming back home, Jimmy married his high school sweetheart, Debbie Green. And it wasn't long before Grace had the blessing of holding grandchildren in her lap. Jimmy became as good as a son as his mother never had. And it was all because of God's amazing grace.
I'm wondering if you're standing at the crossroads of eternity today. Amazing Grace sums up the whole message of Christmas and God's amazing grace. The glory of Christmas is amazing grace. Grace is, as Jimmy's mom stated, grace is God giving us something that we really don't deserve. That's what Christmas is all about. God gave us His only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life in heaven with Him. If we miss God's grace, we will most certainly miss the meaning and the center and the beauty of the glory of Christmas. It is said that someone overheard two women in a shopping center complaining, "Can you imagine the audacity of these conniving Christians trying to spiritualize Christmas?" A lot of people like that today. Think that people are trying to get in and get out of something that is really ours as a Christian. This Christmas, many of us will not see beyond, many will not see beyond the lavish entertainment with their colored lights and bright wrapping and lovely gifts. They will not find the glory of God's grace at Christmas. They ask, "Who is this person, the Lord Jesus Christ?" And you say in your mind, how is that possible that they missed Christmas? It is made so simple by our God. The entering into the amazing grace of Christmas is possible through understanding a simple and easy acceptance of the Holy Word of God, resting on God's grace by faith in what God has said about the sending of His Son for our first Christmas. God gave us good tidings in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, a Savior, which is the Lord." The message is personal. The message also is vital. Listen, He came to be our Savior. God's great purpose is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation." That word propitiation just means one who'd come and pay for it. Kind of like grace paid for Jimmy's college. To be the propitiation for our sins. Wonders of all wonders, God not only loves us, but He sent His only begotten Son to put away our sins as He died on the cross for us and rose again on that third day. We have a promise of the Word of God of eternal blessing. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that ye, through His poverty, might be rich." Receiving Jesus Christ by faith brings one into the sharing of His untold riches of His grace, both now and forever. His glorious and His gracious invitation is this: "God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins that come into my heart." It's as simple as that. In all the years I've pastored and the study I've done, I've studied a lot of different religions, and I'm amazed about how some religions are so heavy and so confusing. But Christianity is so simple. You realize you're a sinner, and I think that all of us certainly could say, "Yeah, that's me. I certainly can." And realize because of our sins, we have a great debt. That debt has to be paid. Someone has to pay for it. Someone has to, as the Bible says, the propitiation. Someone has to propitiate. Someone has to pay for that sin. And God says we will pay for that sin in death and hell forever. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." But I got some good news for you. I got some good news that this is what Christmas is all about. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. That's why at Christmas time we run around and scurry every place to find that perfect gift, you know? Because we're actually acting out what God did for us on Christmas morning when He gave us the greatest gift to mankind. And that came through grace. Something that we don't deserve. I don't know about you, but there have been a number of times that I've given some folks gifts that they certainly did not deserve. But I gave it to them because I loved them. That's what God did. We don't deserve heaven. Good night. We use His name in vain. We curse and swear and get mad and we're mean to each other and you name it. It's just there. We don't deserve heaven. But God said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, but I can't be that perfect. God never asked you to be perfect. God said, I'm perfect. And I will take imperfect people. That's what grace is about. Something that we don't deserve, God gives us. Take the Lord Jesus Christ as you enter into this glorious Christmas. Take the Lord Jesus Christ through all this time and all eternity. I love this portion of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. You see, wise men are still searching Jesus. They knew they traveled far to meet the King of Kings. They knew that the greatest child was ever born, the greatest prophecy ever fulfilled, the greatest event to come to pass, the greatest revelation ever revealed, the greatest sacrifice ever offered. Amazing grace. John Newton, years ago, he was his father owned ships, and they'd go to Africa and pick up the natives over there and turn them into slaves. He worked on his father's boat. But the story goes that he became so mean and so filthy, his father kicked him off the boat and says, I can't work with you. You cannot be on my boat. You are so filthy-tongued. You are terrible. Can you imagine a father doing that to his son? Well, on and on, that's all he knew what to do was sail, and he got onto another boat and another boat, and finally, one time he did some things so bad that the captain came to an island and kicked him off the boat and said, you cannot be with us anymore. Somehow, miraculously, John Newton got his own boat. But he got a girlfriend. And a girlfriend was a Christian. How in the world he ever did that, I don't know. But he got her a Christian. He got him a Christian. And she begged him to go see the preacher. He took his boat over to Africa and coming back in the Atlantic, a great storm. A storm they never thought they'd ever make it through. He went to his captain's quarters and fell on his face before God. He said, Dear God, I know I'm an evil man. But if you get me to England, I will go see my girlfriend's preacher. Somehow he made it back. And the first thing, he was true to his word, the first thing he did was went to see his girlfriend's preacher. And he was marvelously saved, just like Jimmy was. And he wrote this song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Though many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Are you at the crossroads of your life today? Has there been a time in your life that you realize that you're a sinner? And realize there's nothing you can personally do about it. The only thing you can do is die and burn in hell for eternity. That's a long time. It never ends. Or are you willing today to say, and look up to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I accept your amazing grace today. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us today. Help us to realize that hell is real. Just like life is real. Life is short, and hell is for eternity. Dear God, I pray there be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on the way to heaven. Lord God, they know that they're at the crossroads today and something is going to happen unless we make that decision before you, God. Dear God, I beg you, I pray, we've prayed and prayed. These folks have worked so hard to proclaim the good news, the amazing grace. Lord, do not let it be in vain. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I promise you I will not embarrass you. I promise you I won't do that. But if you're here today and say, preacher, there's a time in my life that I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There was a time in my life that I stopped for a moment and said, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Thank you for your amazing grace. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I've never done that. This story today woke something up in my heart. I need a Savior. I need one who would take me and forgive me of my sins and promise me eternal life. If you're here today, would you bow your head right now and pray and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here and right now. I am at the crossroads of my life. Right here, right now, I accept His amazing grace. With your head bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I'm the only one looking. And I'm the only reason I ask you to do this is so I can pray for you. You're here today and say, preacher, today I prayed that prayer and I invited Jesus to be my Savior. Would you lift your hand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No, this is personal. You're here today and say, preacher, today I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. Would you lift your hand? Let me thank God for you. God bless you. Someone else? God bless you. Someone else? Anyone else? Father in heaven, you know. You know beyond a shadow of doubt the hearts and the lives of these people who listened today as the good news was preached and sang. Dear God, I pray that you do a great work today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closing. But as everyone stand to your feet, everyone standing. you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." Or today, you prayed that prayer. I'd like you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, meet me in the front here. Let me show you from God's Word what you've done. You know, when a man buys a new car, he gets an owner's manual to figure out what buttons to push and what buttons not to push. You know, the Bible is like an owner's manual. I'd like to show you today how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Why don't you come right now and experience the amazing grace that no man has ever understood hardly at all. You hear today and say, "Preacher, today I ask Jesus to be my Savior." If you did that, why don't you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure that you're saved. Won't you come right now? Maybe here today and you say, "Preacher, today I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Why did you come at this time?" Here today and say, "Preacher, we'd like to become members of the church. This is where we want to serve at. Why don't you come?" Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this wonderful musical and play that we've enjoyed. Oh my, it gripped our hearts as we listened to the heart cry of that young man, Jimmy, who had missed it all those years. And how it seemed like the old Satan had blinded his eyes and kept him from the greatest thing to know mankind until he came to that crossroads of his life and said, "I need that amazing grace." Lord, help us to go out and tell others about you. And we do thank you so much for what's given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.